Elissa Walker Campbell, welcome into Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, each and every Friday night from 8 to 10 Eastern Time. And as promised, we always deliver the biggest and best in sports over the next 2 hours. And I tell you what, we've got a very special edition of our program. That's right, because it is time to get you ready for the 2016 NFL Playoff Preview, the conference championships. We have four of the best teams left standing, and the winner will advance and compete in Super Bowl 50 on Sunday, February 7th. And we've got so much ground to cover. We're going to get it started with my man at ESPN. That, of course, is Freddie Coleman, who always provides some big and bold predictions. How are you, Freddie?
I'm good, Mrs. E. How are you? And Happy New Year to you, by the way.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you. And, you know, there is so much to dive into. But before we break it all down, just, you know, one of the things I want to ask you is just the brevity of the NFL season. I cannot believe, you know, the Super Bowl is just around the corner. This season just seems like it's gone so fast. Would you agree?
I completely agree, and it seems that more and more, because the NFL continues to be such a competitive field, and even though we have four terrific teams part of the conference championships, I don't think anybody would have been surprised outside of Kansas City beating New England if we had seen Pittsburgh beat Denver, or if we had seen Seattle beat Carolina, or also we had a chance to see in the AFC Championship game where you have all of a sudden all these four teams are so competitive and so evenly matched. I mean, Arizona, they're an overtime away from not being here as well, losing to Green Bay. So I think because the NFL continues to have that kind of feel, to have that kind of passion, to have that kind of big-time events each and every week where you don't know what's going to happen, it continues to be the best reality show on TV. And so I guess the unexpected has become the expected in the NFL.
You know, it's interesting looking at some of the matchups this weekend. Obviously, incredible star power at the quarterback position, but there's been a lot of focus about perhaps is this the best defensive Final Four ever?
That's a really good question, and I think you can make a case for that because Denver, for my money, they have the best defense still around. They have the most balanced defense. Their front four that can get after the pass with Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware and Shane Ray off the bench. They have the best secondary in the National Football League, led by their two terrific corners and Chris Harris Jr., Aqib Talib, and at safety, T.J. Ward. But the Pages, they played extremely well with their pass rush, getting after the quarterback and getting off the football field. We know Carolina, their defense has been able to do. They have the best inside linebackers, the pair of inside linebackers, and Luke Kuechly and Thomas Davis Jr. But Josh Norman has played cornerback better than anybody in the National Football League, and they have an underrated front four on the defensive side. And you can't forget about the Arizona Cardinals. Even though they don't have Tyrann Mathieu, they lost in the regular season with a torn ACL. But Patrick Peterson has been an all-world corner. They can generate heat with their kind of pressure. Calais Campbell's an underrated defensive player on their front line. So that case can be made, and it's subjective because some people go back to different years and say, well, what about these four? But in terms of how these defenses are so different, so multiple, and at times so dominant, but also they've been the kind of defense that you can get at them a little bit and make some plays, it's going to make for a very interesting championship Sunday.
Absolutely. Very compelling to watch. But is it refreshing for you to hear so much defensive talk? I mean, you're a former player on the collegiate level.
You know what it is? I'm good with it either way. But I like the fact that, uh-huh, you know, we know the offense is going to sell. And
sure,
we know the NFL is always going to align the rules for the offenses to get the advantages over the defenses. But time and time again, we've seen the defense been able to make some plays because more than ever before, Elissa, they're going to put their best athletes on the defensive side of the football. That's not just a college thing that we've seen, but the National Football League. So many guys are so talented where you say, okay, if you're going to have that, you need those kind of athletes more than ever before. They can't just chase people. They have to catch people and get them before they get started and push the ball down the field. So more than ever before, we're seeing the best athletes in the NFL. They're going to play on the defensive side of the football because you're going to need that because the rules are so slanted for the offense.
The great Freddie Coleman is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us online at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. And one of the things we got to get into, Freddie, I mean, who do you think is going to win that first Lombardi? Is it going to be the Cardinals or the Panthers? I mean, what direction are you leaning?
I'm still leaning with the Carolina Panthers because of the way that they've always been able to find ways to win. But I will say this. I think those two teams out of the four left are the two best teams in the NFL. If I could reseed the Final Four, Panthers would be number one, the Cardinals would be number two, the Patriots would be number three, and the Broncos would be number four. And it comes down to two entities as far as I'm concerned with these two teams. Number one, their quarterbacks. Both of these guys played at an elite level in the regular season with Cam Newton on one side for Carolina and Carson Palmer on the other side for the Arizona Cardinals. Even though Carson Palmer looked a little skittish early on against the Green Bay Packers, once he got it going, we saw the kind of MVP caliber play that we saw from him. And defensively, they're so multiple, and you may make a play here and there, but they have the ability that they can get a big play against you and tilt the field against your offense and give their quarterbacks a short field.
Carson Palmer, Cam Newton, how cool is it? I mean, you're talking about two guys that are former Heisman Trophy winners.
And two guys that are former number one overall draft picks in the National Football
League. There you go.
Cam Newton out of Auburn and Carson Palmer out of USC. And I think that adds to so much intrigue because Cam Newton has been on this kind of big stage before. He won a national championship at Auburn. When you play in the Southeastern Conference, you're always going to be on the big stage, especially in a program like that. And he's probably to deal with so much where early on he had a fantastic rookie year. Nobody saw that coming. And then he went through his troubles and travails where people wondered if he was going to be a leader, enough of a leader for the Carolina Panthers. And look what he's been able to do to go from all of that a couple of years ago to being the likely MVP this year. Carson Palmer, this has been the biggest stage that he has been on in the National Football League. So I can't wait to see how he's going to handle that because early on against Green Bay, because of the injury to his finger, he really was off. But once he got settled, he was really on in the fourth quarter and in overtime. He can't afford a slow start on Sunday because if he has a slow start on Sunday, he will not be able to escape, especially playing on the road and playing against the Carolina Panthers.
Okay, Carson Palmer, Cam Newton, let's shift gears. Talk about, speaking of quarterbacks, how about Tom Brady and Peyton Manning? Is this going to be their last meeting? Is this the final chapter?
I think, yeah, the chapter 17, that's going to be the end of the book when it comes to Brady versus Manning because, and I made the comment last Sunday on my show, this is this generation's Larry Bird versus Magic Johnson.
Perfect.
We don't know if we're ever going to see that again in any sport. And I've been really blessed. I got a chance to see both of those rivalries at the height of their powers growing up as a kid watching Bird and Magic, and now as an adult seeing Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. And it's really kind of sad in a way because you hate when things like that go away, but nothing lasts forever. But I'm hoping that Peyton Manning has a chance to go into the rewind machine and dial it back up like we saw him between the years of 1999 through 2013, where if he wasn't the best quarterback in the National Football League, he was no worse than number two. Tom Brady, to me, is still going to play at an elite level for another 3 years. I'm convinced of that. But Peyton Manning, I think this is going to be the final time we see him in the National Football League. It would be a great story if we're able to have a great game, if we have a shootout between these two top four all-time quarterbacks. But I think it's more unlikely because Peyton Manning, even though he played better last week, the defense will have to carry him more than the other way around. But Tom Brady, the defense will carry him a little bit, but he's going to carry this football team. He's more likely to do that. And if it's a firefight, if it's a shootout, my money's going to be on Tom Brady because he's still an elite quarterback, and Peyton Manning's best years are definitely way behind him.
Well, that's one of the big questions. Can the Broncos get to Brady? But my final question for you is, I mean, how have these guys been able to have such sustained excellence?
And that's a really great question because even though we're in the age, the golden age of quarterbacks, where you look at these two and Aaron Rodgers of Green Bay and Carson Palmer still doing his thing, the Arizona Cardinals, Drew Brees in New Orleans, and now we got the young guns coming up, whether it's Andrew Luck in Indianapolis, Cam Newton in Carolina, and Russell Wilson with the Seattle Seahawks. And yet we still know that if Peyton Manning was healthy, he would be an elite quarterback, one of the few in the National Football League. The fact that they've been able to do this, a combined 77 years of age, the oldest starting quarterbacks to go against each other in a conference championship game in the history of the National Football League, and yet Tom Brady will probably still be playing until he's 42, still playing at an elite level. And we harken back to the days with Peyton Manning, where we know he's not going to get back to that, but there's still some juice there. And anytime you play Tom Brady on the other side and you have a chance to win a championship, you're going to dial it up just a little bit more than what people have seen. So the fact that both of these two quarterbacks are not only there, but have led their teams to a championship game once again, their teams have rallied around both of these guys to put them in position to have a chance to go to a Super Bowl. I think it says a lot about the organizations, but I think it says more about what Tom Brady and Peyton Manning have brought and will continue to influence quarterbacks that are going to come up after them.
He is simply the best, Freddie Coleman of ESPN. You can check him out at Twitter, @ColemanESPN. Always a pleasure. Happy New Year. We look forward to another conversation. Thank you, Freddie.
My pleasure, Mrs. Ian. Always be well, my friend.
Absolutely. The Big E Sports Show rolls on. Coming up next is Joe George of YSR.